And so here in Psalms chapter 86 and in verse 1, we find that God is faithful to hear. He's faithful to hear. We say, well, if you're faithful enough, God will answer prayers. I don't know where that came from. It's God's faithfulness to hear us that the prayers get answered, that it gets his attention. Psalms 86 verse 1 says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. The first thing I see about this verse is that God sees, God hears from a very lofty perspective, a very high vantage point. He hears. And here the psalmist is saying, bow down your ear. Bring your ear down here to where we live, because we're poor and we're needy. God's way up here and we're poor and needy. God, bow down your ear. God doesn't have any problem with that. God delights in showing mercy. The Bible says over and over and over again it says that in the Old Testament. The Lord has a very high perspective, a very high presence. When I think about God and the characteristics of God, I'm continually going back to the characteristics of Christ. Christ is the express image of the Godhead bodily. You want to know what God looks like? You look at Christ. He told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? Isn't that what he said? John 14. And God has this very lofty presence. But Jesus came down from that loft. Jesus came down to this earth. And in fact, when they wanted to humiliate him the most, they lifted him up on a cross for shame. For shame. The Bible says in the Old Testament, cursed is the man that hangeth upon a tree. They wanted to humiliate him. They put him on a cross. They lifted him up. Because throughout his ministry, throughout his life, he walked meekly. He walked humbly, not lofty. He walked down here where we live. He walked on the same dirt we walk on. He was afflicted by the same things that we are afflicted by. He was acquainted with the same grief we're acquainted with. All those things. All those things. And so the psalmist here says, bow down thy ear. He did better than that. He sent his son down here to hear and to live and to preach. He has a high presence, but he has a compassion for the poor and needy. That's the prayer. Bow down thy ear. Because I'm poor and I'm needy. I have no way of obligating you to hear, but will you just bow down here and hear? Will you just listen? Because I'm poor and I'm needy. And the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout his ministry, had an ear for the poor and needy. We could go over dozens of times that the Lord ignored the lofty and listened to the poor and needy. I mean, one time he was walking through a crowd and they were all pressed up against him and the disciples with him there, and he stopped. And what'd he say? Who touched me? Who touched me? And as I like to say, Jesus never asked a question once in the Bible he didn't know the answer to already. But with his question, he taught a great truth. With each question, he taught a great truth. What did he teach here? Even in the midst of the hurry, even in the midst of the crowd, even with all that's going on around him and all who have their attention on him, he was sensitive. He was compassionate. He had time for this poor woman who, what, 12 years she had an infirmity? And she said, I touched you. And she had been immediately healed. God had compassion on her. There's another time that Jesus is talking and preaching and teaching, and a woman comes to him and she says, and she's a Gentile. I think she's a Samaritan, I think. And she comes to him and she says, My daughter is sick. Won't you just say the words, she'll be healed. And he said, no, go back on home. Called her a dog. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. What do you think he said? He bragged on her faith. He bragged on her faith and had compassion and healed the daughter. Isn't that something? I mean, all that he has to do, isn't that something? And you know what? It wasn't just the poor and needy financially, physically, that he ministered to, but he ministered to people that were torn up inside. Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree. And he's a filthy, wealthy man. You know that? He pays back double all that he stole. I mean, he had a lot of money, didn't it? Paid back more than he stole, double what he stole. A wealthy man. But he was miserable. He was miserable. He was poor and needy of spirit. He was poor and needy of soul. And Jesus sees him up there and says, come on down. He was up in a lofty place. The Lord says, come on down. Come on down. I'm going to your house. I'm coming to dinner. I'm your dinner guest. He invited himself. Why? Because he saw the great need and met the need. He comes from a high and lofty presence and perspective, but he has compassion upon the poor and the needy. Never was that ever better demonstrated than when he saved you and he saved me. That's the best example of his compassion. That's the best example of his willingness to bow his ear to hear our cry. Turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 143 and verse 1. Psalms 143 and verse 1. I mentioned that he's faithful to hear. He's faithful to hear. He's compassionate to hear. He bows down his ear to hear. He's faithful to hear. God's faithful. In Psalms chapter 143 and verse 1, it says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. How'd you like to have your prayers answered based upon your righteousness? We'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we? How about God only listens the days you haven't sinned? How's that work out? So is it our faithfulness or is his faithfulness that he hears prayer? It's out of his faithfulness. Is it our righteousness or his righteousness? He imputes his righteousness to us so that he might be able to hear us, so that he can listen, so that when we pray, our will can be aligned with his will. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. That big word, supplications, you know what that means? A plea from the heart. A plea from the heart for some cause, for some person, for something. And that plea and a prayer is made to God. It's the pleas of supplication. He is faithful to answer our plea. It's his faithfulness. Say, well, they didn't get healed. I guess they must not have had enough faith. That's baloney. That's good old-fashioned hogwash. That's not right. It's not right. Anybody that believes that doesn't believe the Bible. There are many people in the Bible, godly men and women in the Bible, that didn't receive healing. Paul couldn't get healing when he was the most faithful in ministry that he'd been in his life. We say of Paul that he's the greatest Christian that ever lived, the greatest follower of Christ that ever lived. But he couldn't get healing. When he begged for it three times, when he petitioned God for it for three times, he is faithful to answer our plea, but he's not obligated in any way, but he does impute his righteousness to us. A number of years ago, I wrote this, and it meant something to me at the time. Hopefully it'll mean something to you. I entitled it, The Ear of God. He hears the desperate cry from lost sinners that seeks forgiveness with soul-stirred plea. The humble and broken calls for rescue. God's ear captures the appeal, Lord, save me. He responds to the believer's desperate confession, but Satan seeks to steal the freshly planted seed. Sovereign ear turns fear to hope for new saints. Calm assurance upholds the one so newly freed. Distraction leads to temptation and then to sin. God hears the solemn voice of failure and despair. hollow and grieved, the guilty seeks forgiveness. So God gives the mercy he most delights to share. When sorrow deflates the heart of the believing, when weary desperation sounds its questioning part, the righteous Lord hears our anxious words. Through comfort, he restores our contrite heart. I tell you, he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to save. He's faithful to help. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to hear. He hears. He hears. You've been making groanings that cannot be discerned. You've been making groanings that the only one that can discern it is the Holy Spirit. And he is faithful to deliver that groan to the throne of grace and to hear of your infirmity, to hear your supplication, to hear your plea, your cry to him. Whether that be for salvation, or be for forgiveness, or be for strength, or be for help and healing, God hears. He's faithful to hear. And he has imputed to us his righteousness so that we might be heard. God attends to our prayers when we are poor and needy. Turn to Psalms chapter 17 and verse 1, if you would. Psalms chapter 17 and verse 1. There's this word that's used in the Bible a few times. It's not a word that we use often. You hear it every once in a while. But it's not something that's just in our everyday language. And it's the word feigned, or to feign something. And it means to fake your intentions. Fake what you believe. To feign something. When we make our prayers, we shouldn't make feigned prayers. We should make unfeigned prayers. That is to say, we shouldn't just try to trick God into coming over to our side. We shouldn't try to trick God into doing what it is we want him to do. We don't want to trick God into thinking we're more sincere than we are. Can you imagine that? How are you going to trick somebody that is everywhere at once, knows everything at once, and has the power to do anything he wants? Now, how are you going to trick him? But we try it. People try it. Psalm 17:1 says, hear the right. Now, that's not a political statement, okay? Hear the right. That is to hear what's right. Hear truth. Hear truth. Hear truthful things. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. The psalmist here wants the attention of God. Attend unto my cry, he pleads. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. God, hear me. Hear what's in my heart. Hear, attend. Give me your attention, God. What I'm saying from the heart. What I'm asking, Lord, I'm asking desperately. I'm asking because I'm at the end of my rope. I don't have 20 other things I can do. I have you, God. And I'm counting on you, God. And I am sincere. Sincere prayer receives his attention. We desire God to hear. That's what the psalmist says. That was his desire. Just hear me, Lord. We don't even know what he was praying for from this verse. But we know he meant business with God. And when we mean business with God, God means business with us. God hears just fine. He hears just fine. But he welcomes the unfeigned prayer, the prayer that comes from the heart, the prayer that comes from a humble heart, the Bible calls it. Other times he calls it the contrite heart. Very similar. The broken and humble heart. God hears just fine. But now let me turn the tables a bit. God hears just fine, but can we hear? That is to say, can we? God hears what we say. He hears all about us. But do we hear what God says? If you want to hear what God says, what would be the first thing you'd do? Tell me, please. You'd go to the Word of God, right? That's why it's called the Word of God. It's God's words. If I want to hear God, I'm going to read what he has to say. You say, well, that's not hearing, that's reading. Well, then it's pretty dumb reading if you don't hear what you're reading. You say, well, I read in silence. And and your heart doesn't hear that. You don't meditate on those things. You hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. If I want to know what God has to say to me, I'm going to go to the word of God. If I want to know what God has planned for me, I'm going to go to the word of God. If I want to know what God thinks of me, I'm going to go to the word of God. If I want to know what God's planned for me, I'm going to go to the word of God. That's how we hear. And if we won't hear the word of God, then we won't hear the voice of God, the Spirit of God. It won't move us. It won't move us. If we're unwilling to listen to the word of God, He's not going to direct us through the Spirit of God. But if we'll accept the light He's given us, if we'll accept this book as the authority, if we'll come to this book and say, well, I don't know if that's true. You know what? We come to the book that way, life will never make any sense. We come to this book and say, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. We come to this book assuming that God must have messed up and must have made a mistake and it doesn't all add up. The book will never mean anything. You come to this book and say, Lord, my mind is too small to understand this book. But you're not too small to teach me. And God, will you show me from this book what it is you want me to know? You come to the book that way, you'll hear the voice of God, not audibly. You need to go get medical attention for that. Not audibly, but you will hear that resonate in your heart. You will hear the word of God confirm something. And you know what? Often, you won't like what you hear. You'll say, God, I hear that, but don't you have a simpler plan? Couldn't you scale that back a little bit for me? And the answer is no. This is my plan for you. You've read it in my word. This is our contract. This is our love letter. This is the agreement. There isn't any negotiating. Unconditional surrender to the Lord's plan, to the Lord's word. And when you'll do that, He'll give you more of His word, and He'll confirm His word by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that's the Holy Spirit's job, what the Holy Spirit does for a believer? Tell me again, and you've told me before, tell me again what the Holy Spirit's message to the unbeliever is. Conviction in the form of preaching, teaching of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. An unsaved person picks up this book and says, man, I don't see, I can't understand all those these and thous and all these long words and all of that. And then the Holy Spirit says, do you understand this? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I understand it, but I don't like it. Do you understand? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I understand it. I even believe it. But I don't like it. For the wages of sin is death. Yeah, I get that, Lord. There's a lot of cemeteries. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through our good works. Through our membership. Through our philanthropy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I don't get it, God. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems like there ought to be more to it than that. And God says, no, that's more than enough. You can't believe how much wealth, more than the wealth of the universe, expended on the cross for that to be true. And there is no negotiating it. It's concrete. It's settled. It's sure. God hears just fine. Can we hear? Will we hear God? That's an important question. God hears everything about us. What do we hear about God? How do we hear from God? I said that the unbeliever, the Holy Spirit teaches of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. But He also bears witness to the truth, the Bible says. He bears witness to this truth, not just for the unbeliever, but for the believer alike. And He teaches us of Jesus Christ so that we might grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Will you hear Him? Will you hear Him? That's what He has to say. He's bearing witness to the truth. Will you hear Him? You read the truth, and the Holy Spirit confirms that truth in your heart. That's where He deals with man.
heart. Will you hear him? Or will you ignore? Or try to rationalize? Or worse yet, try to justify where you're at and what you think and how you believe and what you're doing, because you've got plans and you've got priorities. And when you do, and you won't listen to God, you also have problems, disappointments, despair. Will you hear him? Turn with me to Romans chapter 11 and verse 8. Romans chapter 11 and verse 8. And this chapter here is talking about how that the nation of Israel has rejected the Lord. And in so doing, their ears have been closed to spiritual things, and their eyes have been blinded to spiritual truths. In Sunday school, we read some about that here this morning. But here in this is in the Pauline epistle, Romans 11 and verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of sleep. Do you believe that the nation of Israel is asleep on God right now? You better believe they're asleep on God right now. They're slumbering. They're in a spiritual slumber. Just as many unbelieving Gentiles are in a slumber and need to be awakened. The Bible talks about awaking to righteousness. Need to be awakened. They're in a slumber. Here in Romans chapter 11, it's talking about the nation of Israel, and it's talking about their blindness. We're going to read here, and their inability to hear, all because they attributed the works of Christ to the devil, to Beelzebub. And so God starts preaching to them. The Lord starts preaching to the nation of Israel in parables. Great puzzling stories. And he goes through these details, and he talks about mustard seeds, and he talks about planting seeds, and he talks about tares, and stony ground, and he talks about all these different things. And his disciples, who for 3.5 years have heard him minister, and how he can make the most complex things simple with his words, the great communicator, Christ. And now all of a sudden he's preaching in parables. And people are looking and they're like, what's he even talking about? And his disciples call him to the side and they're like, why are you speaking in parables? Have you ever heard somebody speak and you said, man, they must be speaking in parables. I don't understand a thing they're saying. And that's exactly what Christ was doing. He was speaking in parables and they couldn't understand a word he was saying. Why? They asked. The disciples asked Jesus, why? And he said, because they won't hear and they won't see. So I have blinded their eyes and I've closed their ears. They cannot hear. God can hear. Can you hear? Will you hear what God has to say? It's important to listen to God. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. For how long? Unto this day. He said, it's still that way. Unto the day that Paul was writing there, their ears were stopped because they refused to accept what God had to say. He closed their eyes. He shut their ears. He removed their discernment. They're in a slumber. My friend, if that can happen to the chosen people of God, don't you know that can happen to you and your family and your church and your nation? We can just go to sleep on God. We can just push God out. We can say, we are not listening to you, God's word. We are not talking to you, God, prayer. And so there'll be no communication. God still hears, but we've got nothing to say and we won't listen to him. You can get into that condition. Your family can get into that condition. When you spiritually get into that condition, you affect the people around you with this. Hearing problems, spiritual hearing problems are contagious. Aren't you glad real hearing problems aren't contagious? I mean, there are some contagious things that causes hearing loss. But for the most part, you sit down beside somebody who's not able to hear, it doesn't mean you're going to wake up and this ear isn't working. Right? Doesn't work that way. How many of you have some hearing problems? You'd confess you have some hearing problems. I'll do it first. I've got some hearing problems. I've had a ringing in my ear for at least 3 years that you just compensate for, that you just accommodate and you just go on. And you know, when it first happened, I was like, how am I even going to sleep? You know, but you don't, you just put it out. And then until finally you're laying there in the quiet and the ringing continues. You've got a hearing problem. That's no laughing matter, is it? I've seen some funny things about around hearing, you know. I remember a guy in church who had a new hearing aid, and that thing would ring, and I thought it was my microphone. And I'd be like, what is going on with that microphone? It's doing it again. And it was his new hearing aid, and the guy couldn't even hear it ringing, but it was ringing, right? And, you know, that's funny and that's humorous, but not if you're the guy that can't hear. Not if you're the guy that can't hear. A doctor, or a guy one time, it was later in life, and his wife was losing her hearing. And so he was at the family doctor, and he said, doctor, how am I going to convince her that she's losing her hearing? She doesn't believe, she can't hear, and she don't know she can't hear, won't admit that she can't hear, so she won't get anything done about it. How many of them know somebody that waited a long, long time to get help with their hearing, and then finally got that help. And they're like, I should have done this a long time ago, right? And the doctor said, well, why don't you do this? When you get home this afternoon and you get to the door, you slam the door behind you and say, honey, what's for dinner? And then listen, and if she don't respond, get a little closer. And so that's what he does. He goes there and he comes in, slams the door behind him. And says, honey, what's for dinner? Nothing. So he walks into the living room and says, honey, what's for dinner? Nothing. He walks into the dining room and she's in the kitchen. Honey, what's for dinner? Nothing. She's at the sink, back turned to him. So he goes up behind her and he says, honey, what's for dinner? She turned around and said, for the fourth time, it's spaghetti. Now let me ask you, who has the hearing problem? It was the husband. Who has the spiritual hearing problem? It's not God. You say, oh, he's not hearing. He won't hear my prayers because he don't answer them the way I ask. Who has the hearing problem? Who has the hearing problem? It's not God. But we have a hearing problem. We have a hearing problem. We'll not hear God's answer because we don't always like God's answer. Joseph Rogers said, prayer is communicating with God for the purposes of knowing Him, seeking His heart, and doing His will. It is putting your ear to God's chest to hear and know His heartbeat. Do you desire to hear what God has to say that much? If you can go days on end without picking up His book, you're not listening for His heartbeat. If I can go days on end and make some feeble prayer over my meal, and I believe we should pray and thank God for every meal. Or when we laid our heads down at night, recite some quaint prayer. And I believe we ought to go to bed at night praying. I believe we ought to wake up in the morning with a prayer. But if we can go weeks on end and not have that close communication with God, we're not listening for God's heartbeat. We're not listening to know how God thinks and ticks and what pleases Him and what He wants for us, if that's what's going on. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So we're not in tune with God, and a person can't hear God because he's rejected, refused what God has to say. And now it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll hear the truth and they won't like it. That's what doctrine is. Now, spiritual doctrine is from this book, but doctrine in and of itself is truth. And you'll often run into people that don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather hear the lie than hear the truth. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You say, is he talking about a person? Is he talking about some church? No, he's talking about the condition that this entire world gets into at the end times. And if you're like me in the sense that you believe these are the end times, then these are the times This is the time when people won't endure sound doctrine. They won't endure the sound doctrine of the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. They won't endure that. You know, there are more people that believe that because of Christ, we don't have to do anything to accept Christ and we're all okay, than there are people that believe that since Jesus Christ went to the cross, and if we will accept that death, that burial, and that resurrection, and ask Him for forgiveness, He'll save us. Now, did you hear me? That's the way of salvation. That's truth. That's Bible doctrine. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And if we'll confess that Jesus died for us and rose again, we'll be saved. We'll be saved. And that viewpoint is the minority in this world. The very small minority in this world. There are others that believe that you pray to an image and toss money at it. There are others that believe, I'm okay, you're okay. If I'm okay and you're okay, why did Christ have to go to the cross? And if I'm okay and you're okay, how can we not have to acknowledge what He did? How can we not have to accept the sacrifice that God made for us? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, there's far more people who call themselves Christians that don't believe there's a hell. You talk about foolish, believing there is a heaven, but there isn't a hell. There is no heaven without a hell. There is no hell without a heaven. Just illogical. But they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, there are preachers that call themselves evangelical that don't believe there's a devil, that believe he's just figurative in the Bible. Some of them, if I gave you their name, you'd recognize them in an instant. Why? Because they know people won't endure sound doctrine. And so they preach what people want to hear instead of what the Word of God says. You say, what do you mean by that? But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Teachers, scratch my ears. Teachers, tell me what my ears want to hear. Teachers, I only want to hear good things. Be positive. All right, I'll be positive. Without Christ, I'm positive you're not going to go to heaven. That's sound doctrine. That's sound doctrine. I'm positive of it because the Word of God tells me that. But men have hearing problems and acknowledge it. They have itching ears that need to be scratched. Not interested in doctrine. Always desiring to learn and to hear a new thing. Do you remember who in the Bible that was said of? It was said of the Athenians, people of Athens on Mars Hill. That they were always wanted to hear a new thing. They were intellectuals. And they were interested in a new opinion. So much so that they ignored the old truth. Paul said, you are too superstitious. What Paul told him there on Mars Hill. You're just too superstitious. You believe in things that aren't true. You've put your stock in things that aren't true, that are superstition. And you ignore the Word of God, doctrine, sound doctrine. I had an ear problem, and we're about finished here, honestly. I had an ear problem one time when I was about, 23, 24 years old. My ear had gotten infected, and I didn't know it was infected, didn't know how it got infected, but I literally could not stand. There had been a pimple or a sore or something that had burst and drained down into my ear. Isn't that gross? And the first day it was bad, the second day it was worse, the third day it was, I couldn't even get up. I had to run at a temperature, couldn't even go up, couldn't go to work. Literally had to get my sister and brother-in-law to drive an hour and a half to come and pick me up and take me back to my doctor. And I got there and they looked in the ear and they said, And called in the nurse and she got some hot, salty water, I guess. It was warm. And she squirted that into my ear and then she sucked that out. And I was like, whoa, wow. I got my balance back. I could hear. I felt good, and she showed me that clot that she had pulled out of that ear. I didn't know what was going on. All I know was I was in a mess. I didn't know what the problem was. I just knew I had a problem. But when the hearing came back. The health came back. And when we'll listen to God, He will heal our hearts. When we'll listen to Him, He'll take care of the hearing problems, all the ear problems that stand in the way of serving a holy and a righteous God. In Psalms 86:6 it says, "Give ear." And this is very similar to the verses we've been reading. It's a different one. "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend." Give attention, Lord. "And attend to the voice of my supplication." God has ears. And as we've talked about before, hearing triggers remembrance. You've heard something in this message that reminded you of something. You hear things throughout the week, a song, a phrase, a joke, something that triggers, and you have remembrance. Hearing triggers remembrance. When God hears, He hears on His terms. We looked at verses on this. He hears on His terms. He doesn't hear on our terms. He hears on His terms, on His conditions. The humble are not a stranger to God and God's voice. God hears the humble. He's faithful to hear even our meditations, the thoughts and the intents of our hearts through His Word. He's faithful to hear even our meditations. Sincere prayer receives His attention. You can mark it down. I have. You can mark it down. Sincere prayer receives God's attention. God hears just fine. But do you hear God? God hears everything. Now, isn't that an awesome thought? He hears everything. What does He hear about you? What does He hear about me? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You. You allowed us to hear and receive Your Word. Lord, I thank You for the message that we have today. Lord, I pray and ask that if there's one here that has never received Christ, that is to say they've never accepted His sacrifice, never asked for forgiveness for their sins, never called upon God to be their Lord and Savior, that they would this day make that cry from their heart, that plea, that supplication for salvation, to be saved, to be forgiven, to be given a home in heaven, life eternal, joy unspeakable, and full of glory, the peace that passes understanding. May they call upon You this day, Lord, through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, for those who are here that are believers, we are all prone to hearing problems spiritually. We all go through things just naturally in this life that we need Your supernatural help on, to hear things right, to understand them right, have discernment, and to make the right decisions. God, I pray that You would bless this day. I pray that You would heal our hearing problems. I pray, Father, that You, out of Your faithfulness, will continue to hear prayer and impute upon us or to us Your righteousness rather than our sin. And God, I pray for Your grace and blessing today. It's in Jesus' name, amen.